has a long list of things: space heating, hot water cooking, getting off the gas grid, draft proofing, air quality, drying their laundry, insulation, windows and window treatments, solar PV, batteries, electric vehicles, lighting and other electrical appliances, monitoring your electricity use, and solar panels. And a little bit about, yeah, a little bit about batteries and the electric cars as well.
That's Melbourne-based Tim Forsey talking about his soon-to-be-released new book, My Efficient Electric Home Handbook. Tim was a guest at Wednesday night's meeting of Zero Carbon Futura. For the record, the meeting was on Wednesday, March 20. Yes, welcome to this latest episode of Climate Conversations. I am your host, Robert McLean. This podcast is assembled here in Shepparton, in northern Victoria, Australia, on the lands of the Yorta Yorta people. Yes, the stolen lands of the Yorta Yorta people. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. A lifetime as a reporter has given me some really great insights into storytelling, but taught me nothing about working with audio. And subsequently, I forget about things such as hot mics, and so my microphone is picking up noises I'm making while Tim is speaking. It's not too bad though. Also, Tim had a few slides, but I think the conversation makes absolute sense, even though you can't see them. Although I recorded the question and answer session, it didn't add much to the overall conversation, and so I haven't included that. I should note that all the advice given by Tim is available here in Shepparton from Jeff Lodge at GV Community Energy. He has exactly the same knowledge on hand, and he can give the same advice. So I'd urge you to contact Jeff Lodge at GV Community Energy, and you'll find a link for GV Community Energy in the show notes. That, of course, doesn't detract from anything that Tim Forsey had to say. His presentation was wonderful. So let's listen now to that first bit of the presentation.
You know, maybe a week after that publication date with the state energy minister, Lily D'Ambrosio. Because, of course, you know, she's been making moves in recent times to get the whole state off of gas. Yeah, I migrated to Australia to work in the oil and gas industry. That was a long, long time ago. But, of course, I became aware of climate change and, you know, I stayed in the industry a bit. You try to affect change from within. But eventually, as you understand what's happening, you realize you probably need to do a bit more. And so I got out of the industry and I had roles with the Australian Energy Market Operator, which is the group that's responsible for planning aspects of Australia's electricity grids and gas distribution networks, etc. But then I was lucky to have a bit of a casual research opportunity at the University of Melbourne. And we looked at lots of things. We looked at the electricity system. We looked at pumped hydro energy storage. We looked at methane emissions from coal seam gas production. But another thing we looked at was the use of reverse cycle air conditioners to heat a home. And we found, this was back in 2015, we found that with the reverse cycle air conditioner, you can heat a home for like a third the cost of using gas. And so I've kind of been on a mission ever since to tell everybody about those economics, because they're pretty amazing. It was about 2015 when the price of gas started to go up quite a bit. And at the same time, the reverse cycle air conditioners just kept getting better and better. And so that's when you hit the point that it was a lot cheaper to heat a home with a reverse cycle air conditioner. A lot of people were putting in air conditioners for summer cooling. And so the message was, hey, you're actually going to use this thing more in winter, if you're aware of the situation, for the cheapest form of heating. And so then that's when I started the Facebook group, My Efficient Electric Home. And there's a picture of the header for that, so you can find it on Facebook. Now, not everybody's on Facebook, but quite a lot of people are. And yeah, we're still getting 100 people a day joining this group. And we're up past 114,000 members, and it's just going to keep going. So this is an overnight success after 9 years. But yeah, we keep trying to help people. So people get on there and they'll ask anything like, you know, should I ventilate my roof space, or how thick should my insulation be, or whatever. What can I do about draft proofing, or can I heat my water with a heat pump, you know, just like I can heat my lounge room with a heat pump, and so forth. So all sorts of questions. And there's six admins that look after the group at the present time, and just hundreds and hundreds of knowledgeable members that help out. I mean, these days we've got electricians and plumbers and everybody in there, people that install solar panels, etc. But for me, it comes back to that main message of heating with the air conditioner. And you can see three quotes there from some of our members, people that, started heating with the air conditioner, whether it was in Melbourne or whether it was in Shepparton or Canberra. And yeah, they were finding big savings. So that's what it's all about. And since then, yeah, even the state energy minister, Lily D'Ambrosio, she's had me in her house to do a home comfort and energy consultation, as I call it. I go to people's homes. These days, they pay me to come in there and spend 3 hours with people. We look at everything about the house with respect to home comfort and energy, and I make recommendations. And often people are uncomfortable, so they want advice, but also they want to get their homes off gas. So they've heard the message that they could save some money by heating with an air conditioner. But how do you do that? And how do you heat your water with a heat pump? And, how do you get rid of the gas cooking? And then how do you get rid of the gas meter and save money in those ways? So those are all the topics that we talk about at this Facebook group. And people are improving their homes and saving money and getting off gas. This graph here shows our house, and it's just an old weatherboard in Sandringham, outside of Melbourne. And we actually moved into the place in 1994 and did a bunch of renovations even then. We had to put a couple bedrooms on for the kids because we just, left a big house in Texas and came to a small house in Melbourne to make it a bit bigger, put a couple bedrooms on. But even back in 1994, you ask people, should you put insulation in the walls? No, you don't need to put any insulation in the walls. And yeah, it's what about the double glazed windows? Because, in the 70s in America, where we had ice and snow and minus 30 degrees outside, we had triple glazed windows in the homes in America back in the 1970s. My parents put those in. But in 1994, about double glazed windows, they said, no, never heard of them, mate. You don't need them anyway. And so we didn't bother. But through the years, we had a few more renovations. And these days, we do have some double glazed windows in the house, not 100%, but a few. And of course, the place is pretty well insulated in the roof space and the walls are insulated. I can't insulate the floor. We're so close to the sand, I'm still digging down there. But this graph shows the transition, looking at it from an energy point of view. So what's plotted here are energy units, kilowatt hours. So that's electricity and gas. I mean, on your gas bill, they sell it to you in megajoules, but you can convert that to kilowatt hours and put it all on the same graph. So the red stuff is gas and the blue stuff is electricity. And if we look at it in 2008, we were using a fair bit of gas and electricity. And 2009, you can see the electricity use goes down a bit. Why was that? Well, we put in those first six solar panels, the old 1 kilowatt system that was heavily subsidized by the government. And then through 2016, we're draft proofing, we're insulating, we're putting in some better windows. And so you can see we had reduced our gas use somewhat. But 2017 was the year when we finally got off the gas heating. And just we were heating with two split systems. So one split system in a main area of the house and one split system in the master bedroom. And you can see that the gas use collapses because we're not using it for heating anymore there in 2017. And the electricity use goes up, but only a little bit. So sure, reverse cycle air conditioners need electricity to run the pumps, run the fans, run the compressor. But they're so efficient as heat pumps, they get free heat out of the air. And they don't need a lot of electricity to do that. And so you can see that you can stop using a lot of gas, but hardly use a lot more electricity. And then you can use the same technology, a heat pump, to heat your water. So that's 2018. You see that coming in where we got off the gas hot water and replaced that with an electrical heat pump. And in 2019, we expanded the solar system. So instead of just having the six panels, we added 22 more, so we got 28 solar panels now. And there you can see the whole house becomes a net electricity exporter. So sure, we bring electricity in off the grid at night. I don't have a battery, I don't have an electric car. We do have an electrically heated spa, so that's a luxury item, and our numbers would even be better if we didn't have that luxury. But in 2019, the house as a whole went over to being a net electricity exporter into the system, even though we do, of course, buy electricity at night and cloudy days, that sort of thing. And there's still a little bit of red because that was the gas cooking. And then finally, at the end there, 2022, we finally totally get off the gas cooking and off the gas grid. And so no more gas bill, and the home's a net electricity producer. Now, we still have an electricity bill of about $700 a year. My wife and myself, again, I mentioned we have that electrically heated spa. Otherwise, the numbers would be even better. But $700 a year, well, you pay about a dollar a day just to be connected to the electricity grid. So it's hard to get around that cost. And then the rest of it is just the net between what we have to pay for electricity versus what they pay us when we export some electricity. And of course, the feed-in tariffs aren't as high as they used to be. So the economics aren't as good necessarily as they used to be. But that's what this graph here is looking at it on an energy basis. If you look at it on a dollar basis, as I said, these days we have about a $700 a year electricity bill. But if you go back to 2008, if we'd never made those changes, we'd be looking at combined gas and electricity bills about $3,700 a year. So with these investments, we've made the home more comfortable. It's not using any fossil gas, and we're saving about $3,000 a year. So this is what lots of people are doing. I wasn't the first by any means. I mean, I've got mates who work in this space or volunteer in this space, and they might have been gas-free by 2015. They were well ahead of the curve. So it took us a little while longer to get there. But then again, I only ever do one thing every year so that I can plot it on a graph. The electric car is coming. Not so sure about a home battery. I look forward to the times when we can actually run the house off the car, and there'll be six or seven times as much battery capacity in the car as there would be in any home battery. So I say to folks, mostly you're going to, the first battery you're going to get is going to be a big one. It's going to come with four wheels on the ground and a steering wheel. So that's the future we look to, that we can actually be using our cars to run the house. I don't have many slides, so there'll be plenty of time for questions. Oh, but this is what you do then when you're finally off gas. You ring up, whoever was selling you the gas, and you say, "I'm done with it." And it used to be a little bit of a Wild West, but the regulators come in recently, and it's getting a bit more organized. And so the most you'd have to pay to say bye-bye to the gas grid is $220 plus GST. There had been some places around Victoria that the gas distributors were a bit narky, and they were charging people like $500. And in fact, in Canberra today, you still might have to pay $1,500 to get rid of the gas meter. And in New South Wales, you might have to pay $2,000 to get rid of the gas meter. So they're kind of sticking it to people on the way out in those places. But Victoria, like I say, even the energy ministers all across this, and so the regulator came in to not make it a ridiculous price. I think you should have to pay $0 to get rid of the gas meter. In fact, I only paid 69 for some reason a few years ago. But these days, the most you can pay is 220 plus GST. One of the reasons the energy minister wants to get the state off gas is not just because it's a fossil fuel and not just because you've got cheaper options, but Victoria doesn't have the big supplies of gas that it used to have. The Bass Strait is where most of the gas came from, out offshore there. That was discovered by BHP and Esso in 1969. And when they discovered it, they looked down, they said, "There's a lot of gas here. There's about 60 years worth." And guess what? Here we are today, we're in year 59. Yeah, people, the folks that look at this stuff understand that Victoria's not got a lot of gas left. I mean, they'll continue to squeeze a bit of gas out of Bass Strait, out of Gippsland, but it's on a decline. So, this winter, and Esso, who still runs the joint, or ExxonMobil, they still, they've told the government, "Yeah, we're not really sure that we'll be able to produce a heck of a lot midwinter, so you better be looking elsewhere for your gas." And there are pipelines that connect all the way up to Queensland, so more and more of the gas being used in Victoria will be coal seam gas coming all the way from Queensland. And they've also looked at bringing liquefied gas in by ship. AGL had a plan to put a ship in an import facility in Western Port Bay, but that got knocked back on environmental grounds. And I'm not sure that AGL wanted to bother anyhow. But other crowds are looking at doing it in Wollongong or Adelaide or Geelong. So if there's a gas market there, they'll go get the gas. They'll go buy liquid gas from Western Australia or even the Middle East or Russia. It doesn't matter. If there's just a market, they'll want to fill it. But certainly some of the folks, like the state energy minister, understands there's a good opportunity here to do a cleaner, greener, healthier thing. I haven't even talked about the health benefits of not having gas in your home. But there's an opportunity here to do the cleaner, greener, healthier, cheaper thing by not using gas, but rather getting into the heat pump technology. Back at the beginning, this was so you can see there's a picture of the thing. Looks like an air conditioner, but that's actually a hot water heat pump. And you can see the water tank to the side. So this is what you call split system hot water heat pump. So the air conditioner or the heat pump, it extracts heat from the air, even if it's this particular one's designed to operate at minus 15 degrees outside. So even if there was snow and ice everywhere, the refrigerant inside would be so cold that it can still absorb free heat out of the air. And then the refrigerant goes through a compressor and even gets hotter, hot enough to heat, this water up here to 60 degrees in the tank. So that's how you heat your home with a hot water heat pump. And there's a lot of rebates and incentives available that can make getting into, getting off the gas and getting a hot water heat pump quite a cost-effective thing for people. But
Tim, what's the refrigerant in that system?
this particular one happens to be carbon dioxide,
Yeah, right, good. Yes.
supercritical carbon dioxide, which is a pretty tricky thing to deal with, very high pressure. And as a result, this particular brand is called a Sandin, and it has a similar thing. It's coming out of the same Japanese factory, basically, that's branded as a Reclaim. And now there's some that are being branded as Panasonic. But they'll basically come out of the same Japanese factory. They use the supercritical carbon dioxide. It's very efficient, very capable, but it's quite costly. I think when I got mine, it was a couple thousand dollars cheaper than what you can get them for these days. They're kind of pricing them as a premium item. So people can also look at the hot water heat pumps that use propane as a refrigerant. They're perfectly fine. And then there's even some cheaper ones that use the chemical R134a as the refrigerant. So there's like three tiers of the hot water heat pumps that you can look at. Let me see if I had any more slides. Oh yeah, just the book. So there's the book. And so like I say, it's available the 18th of June. And I mentioned that, about 5 years ago, I finally put up a website and I started a business where I go into people's homes and we look at everything and we discuss improvements opportunities. And then by now I know people in Melbourne that can do insulation or can do solar panels, and they have a good reputation, or you see people using them on the Facebook group and everybody's happy with them. So I'm able to recommend to people where they can, buy this stuff if they have to. Independently, I don't have any other commercial connections with anyone, but I've done podcasts, like I did a podcast the other day with Robert, and eventually a woman who publishes books with Murdoch, not Rupert Books, that's who's publishing this thing. She heard me on a podcast and said, "Well, if you write all that stuff down, then we'll turn it into a book." So there you go. It's a 230 pages long, and I just typed up the chapters there. So the first few chapters talk about me and the gas system and the electricity system and everything I just told you guys. It's all in the book. But then you get into, the how-to stuff. And so, there's a long list of things: space heating, hot water cooking, getting off the gas grid, draft proofing, air quality, drying their laundry, insulation, windows and window treatment, solar PV, batteries, electric vehicles, lighting and other electrical appliances, monitoring your electricity use, and solar panels. And a little bit about batteries and the electric cars as well. So that's what all's in the book. But I guess the question, I'll turn it over to you guys to ask questions, but I'll also ask you one question. At this point, so I have been banging on about this for 9 years now. So if you all are still using gas, or that some of your friends and family are still using gas, let's discuss about why that is and why, the moves have not been made yet to make the switch.
Yes, what a provocative question. And it prompted many answers and comments from those at the Zero Carbon to Tura meeting. Join me now as we listen to the intro to a YouTube video where Tim does a home energy efficiency test on a house near Ye.
My name's Tim Forsey. I'm a home energy researcher, writer, social media influencer, and a qualified home energy consultant. What we're here to do today is a home energy consultation at this home not too far outside of Yay, Victoria.
What a home energy consultation involves is looking at aspects of the house from a energy and comfort point of view, and then sitting down with the homeowner to discuss ways that possibly the home could be improved to reduce energy bills, reduce environmental impact, and to make the home more comfortable. But in addition, what we're also going to be doing is demonstrating the use of the Residential Efficiency Scorecard. This is a computer-based tool that's been put together and administered by the Victorian government, which gives us a way to rate Victorian homes on a scale from 1 to 10 stars. The scorecard assesses the cost of operating the heating and cooling systems for a home to a reasonable level of comfort, also considers the cost of the hot water services, pools and spas, aspects of lighting, and also takes credit for solar PV panels should you have any of those on the roof. And with this house, we will put information in and find out where it rates on that 1 to 10 star rating. But also with that tool, what you can do is to test the value of improvements and upgrades. So is it possible to make changes to this home where we could increase the star rating, say by 1 star, if it's not already at that perfect 10?
You'll find the link for that video clip in the show notes. And that wraps up this episode of Climate Conversations. Thanks so much for your company. It's been great to have you along. Now, I'd love you to share this podcast with your friends. Put it on your networks. Let them know what's happening with the climate crisis. Because to change everything, we need everyone. Yes, we need you and we need your friends. Also, I'd love to hear your voice on this podcast. So why don't you contact me at r.mclean7@icloud.com. Yes, please contact me and we can arrange your time to talk. And we can hear your views about the climate crisis. Also, I'd love to know how you feel about this podcast, so contact me on that previously mentioned email address and let me know. Good or bad, don't hold back, please let me know. So, until we talk again, please take care, stay safe, and please be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Now take care and stay safe.